You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
So many times in life, people can miss the point of something. And so recently, I was in the gym and I was talking to, me and Carl were talking about this. And there's a guy in the gym and he's got a personal trainer. And he was in deep conversation with this personal trainer. So I went up into my gym, there's different floors. So I went up one floor, there's all the leg machines. And so, how many of you got to deal with the legs as well? Yeah, certain man is just a bit too much bicep chest. Deal with the legs as well, man. Because otherwise, anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. And so I'm up there and I done my session up there and then I come down and the guy's still talking. And in my head, I was like, I don't come to the gym to talk. How many know you don't go to the gym to talk? Some of you don't know that. You'd be one of those. But then I was also thinking that if I was the personal trainer, when I saw that personal trainer, I'd be like, he's not really a good advertisement for a personal trainer, because I want a personal trainer that's just gonna be like, come on, lift that, come on, push me. How many know that's what you'd want with a personal trainer? Not that's gonna sit there and talk and eat donuts with you. I've already got people that could eat donuts and talk to me for free. I'm not gonna pay you. And so going to the gym to talk, you've kind of lost the point of going to the gym. You can talk anywhere. You're paying for that. And I was thinking about losing, you know, missing the point of things, because we can kind of miss the point of Christmas because it's about the things we like. Now, listen, don't get it twisted. This is not a sermon against these things about Christmas. I'm not against trees, Christmas trees. And, you know, some Christians are against Christmas trees and they'll talk about paganism and all of these things. Listen, in the Bible, it does not say, thou shalt not have a Christmas tree. So, you know, get off that. But how many know, really, the Christmas tree is not the point of the birth of Christ. It's not the point. Turkey, how many like some turkey? I like turkey. But it's not the point. That Christmas dinner is not the point of the birth of Christ. And so we're looking at, in this series, to us the Son has given, we're saying the point of the birth of Christ is there's hope for us. That is the point. When you see that child in the manger and the shepherds around and the wise men around, whoever else you see around on that Christmas card, what that is communicating to us, there is hope because help is on the way. Look at someone and say, help is on the way. I mean, don't be stush this week. You didn't need to tell someone. Tell them, don't be stush. Tell them this is not a stush row. This row is not a stush row. If you're stush in the wrong row, you need to get out of this row. Amen. Let's go straight into the text. Isaiah 9 verse 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. How many know we dealt with that last week? And then he says, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. Manifest yourself. We feel your presence here. Father, I pray that you would magnify yourself in this place. We desperately need you. We desperately need you to show us who you are and how big you are. Father, bigger than all of our problems, bigger than all of our situations, bigger than sickness, bigger than poverty, bigger than insecurity and depression. Father, I pray that as we study this subject of the birth of Christ, that it would give us hope, that we would understand help is on the way. And Father, that we would leave here refreshed and revived. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Now, I want to say today in this sermon, we're going to go through quite a few scriptures, but they're going to help you out. And so you need to take notes. You need to type up because we're going to establish some fundamental doctrines. And so these things are going to help you. And so along the way, people are going to challenge some of what we're going to deal with today. And so you need to be well equipped. How many know is that if you go into a fight and you don't know that you're going to fight, you're going to end up losing. But when you know and you're prepared, it's going to help you. And so let me start by speaking about missing the point. What is the point? This text that we've read shows us the point of Christianity. And I want to say to you, the point of Christianity is not just to go to church. I want you to know that today. Now, we are a church, we build a church, we hire the building, we put on a service, we invest in all of those things, and it's the highlight of our week, many of us. But you become a Christian, the point of Christianity is not just to come to church, but you should come to church. The point of Christianity is not just that you stop drinking and taking drugs. That's not the point of Christianity. Oh, I don't take drugs no more. Or that you stop raving. Or that you stop fornicating. The word fornication means having sex with someone you're not married to. Now, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be out having drunken parties. It speaks about it in the book of Peter. You shouldn't be having sex with someone you're not married to. But that is not the point of Christianity. The point of Christianity is not that you would just be kind and nice to people. And you should be kind and you should be nice. But the point of Christianity is more than that. In this text, it shows us what is the point of Christianity. And in the text, he says, "For unto us a child is born, his name will be called," and then he says this, "Mighty God." See, the point of Christianity is this. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Now, this is what he said. He said a child would be born, speaking about Jesus, and he said, you know what his name is, who he's going to be? He's Mighty God. See, that is the point of Christianity. You are a Christian when you believe that Jesus is God. Now, I want to say to you is, you can't just brush that under the carpet. You shouldn't just let me say that to you and you sit and you go, yeah, okay, Jesus is God. You should say, no, we need to look into this more. Because you're telling me a man that was born 2,000 years ago in a dusty city is the creator of all matter and energy and everything that we see. You're saying that this Jesus, this baby, spoke everything into existence. And without him, nothing could exist or even consist. Imagine if I said I was God. Listen, you shouldn't say, oh yeah, you're God. No. How many know this is a big claim? And so I want us to look at some scriptures to back up what we're saying, that Jesus is God, because the reality is this is what makes you a Christian, when you believe Jesus is God. Why do we preach it at this church that Jesus is God? John 1 verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And so that text there speaks about the Word. Later on, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so we know that when John is speaking about Jesus, he calls him the Word. He says in this text, he says, "In the beginning," it means before there was anything, there was Jesus. The word in the Greek for word is the word logos, meaning the meaning of everything. That's what logos means. This is why we put that ology on the end of something. So zoo is the Greek for animals. When you study animals, the reason for it, you call it zoology. Psych, meaning understanding our psyche, how we think. That's why you call it psychology, the reason for how we think. Social, that's people. When you study the reason for people, sociology. See, ology is the reason of. And so when the writer of the Bible, John, was trying to describe Jesus, he called him the logos, the ology, the reason for everything. Some of you may be thinking, why didn't he just call him Jesus? Well, he wasn't called Jesus until he came out of Mary's womb. Before Mary ever existed, before anything ever existed, he wasn't called Jesus. And so they said he is now the reason for everything.
I'm getting excited when I talk about Jesus. He says, the Word was with God, the Father, and the Word was God. He's of the same consistency, meaning he's built of the same thing. He's made of the same stuff. John 8, verse 58, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I was looking at a video of a guy, I think he was a Muslim guy, and he was trying to explain this text, and he did a very bad job of explaining this text. See, this text is where Jesus says to the Jews, before Abraham was, I am. And the reason why he said the word I am is because when God reveals himself to Moses, Moses says, who should I say has sent me? And he says this, say that I am has sent you. What that means is I exist because I exist. I don't need anybody else. I'm not from anybody else. I don't need someone to support me. Me and you can't say I am because I am. No, no. You are because of your mom and dad. There was a twinkle in someone's eye and you are here now. And why are they there? Is because there was a twinkle in someone else's eye. And that's why they're there. And that's how it runs. But with God, when God is describing who he is, he says, I am. See, God has to be that, because if you're one of those that would believe in the Big Bang, let's say this is the Big Bang, this banged. Well, where did this stuff come from that banged? Where did it come from? And you say, oh, it came from this. So this made it. How many know nothing doesn't bang? Nothing doesn't bang. Nothing. If nothing bangs, it would be nothing. So here we have the Big Bang. You believe that? Okay, it's a bang. Where did all this stuff come from? Well, this made it. So this made that. Okay, what made this? This made it. So this made that. We go on forever. But God says, no, 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 I'm God. So one time I was witnessing to a guy. He said, who made God? I said, listen, I had to just, and then I calmed myself, caught myself. I said, listen, no, I love you, bro, listen. If he's God, that means no one made him. Because what God is saying, no one made me. I've always been here. I'll always be here. If someone had to make me, then I can't be God. Because whatever made me would be my God. And whatever made him would be my God. And God says, no, no, I've always been here. And if you don't believe that I've always been here, then I'm not really God. In this text, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. See, think about this, before Abraham was, before even Abraham. See, God revealed himself to Moses as I am. But Moses basically came from the line of the Levites. And what we understand is the line of the Levites came from Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who came from Isaac. And Isaac came from Abraham. And so even before God revealed himself to Moses as I am, Jesus says, before all of that, before the law and the Torah and the Ten Commandments, I existed. Because this is the very first kind of guy that we see in the Bible that God really starts to reveal himself to and say, I'm going to make you a nation. See, if Jesus is not God, that would have been blasphemy. And if someone comes to you and says, no, he didn't mean that, ask him this, because you read just after it, why did the Jews want to stone him? See, the Jews wouldn't want to stone you if you were just saying, yeah, I am cool, Lord. John 14, verse 9. I told you, listen, these are good scriptures. Look at someone say, this is good stuff. You need this. Jesus said to him, I've been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip. He's speaking to one of his disciples. He says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is saying, listen, if you see me, you've seen the Father. We're made of the same stuff. We're of the same consistency. There's nothing I do that he doesn't do, and there's nothing he does that I... How many know I can't say that to you? He's like, Pastor, I need more of God. If you've seen me, how many know I can't say that to you? I may be able to prophesy. I may be able to pray for you. I may be able to get healing for you. I may be able to preach to you. But I can't say, if you've seen me... No, because you might see me scratching my toe. doing something that, hey, is that God? With God? No. See? Because I'm human. But Jesus said, when you see him, everything about him is God. Once you've seen Jesus, you've seen God the Father. This is where we're going to get to some more meat. Two more scriptures on this subject. Three more. John 20, verse 28. The Bible says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Can you see that? My Lord and my God. Can you see that? Is it up there? It is up there. Amen. You're a bit stush. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. So think about this now. When you read in the Bible, there's a few times when people started to allow men to worship them. One time a king allows people to worship him. The Bible says worms eat him up because God's like, no. Man can't worship man. That's idolatry. Man can't worship man. You shouldn't worship man. You shouldn't worship man. And so here, Thomas basically wasn't chilling with the disciples. Thomas missed the service, basically, and Jesus turned up to church. That's why you shouldn't miss church, because you might miss some things that are going on. But what happens is they come and they say, hey, we've seen Jesus. And Thomas says, unless I put my finger in the holes in his hand and in his side, I'm not going to believe. And when he says it, boom, Jesus appears. What are you saying? So Jesus appears. He says, bad. He said, what are you saying now? Say that to my face. And he sees Jesus, and when he sees Jesus with the holes and he's appeared, he says, my Lord and my God. He says, you are God. And Jesus, if Jesus weren't God, Jesus should have rebuked him. Said, listen, I can see you're excited, but you've gone too far now. See, just like you, 1 minute you doubt me, now you've gone too far. But Jesus didn't say that. What did Jesus say? Let's read what he said. He says this. He says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. He's saying that what you said was right, but you say it because you believed. But then look what he says here, because some people might come up to you and say, have you seen Jesus? Look what Jesus says. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's me. That's you. Jesus is saying, listen, there's going to be people that come after you, Thomas, and they're going to believe that I'm God as well, but they haven't even seen me yet. He says, they're the real ones who have faith, not you, because you had to see me pop up at it. Revelations 1 verse 17, look at it. We're just dealing with saying Jesus is God. The Bible says, and then I saw him. This is John speaking. He saw God. He says, I fell at his feet as dead. So he's like, oh, this is serious. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. We've got to stop there. What he's saying is, nothing is before me. Nothing is before me. I'm the first. Nothing is before me. That can only be God. Only nothing is before God. Nothing will be after me. So this is God speaking. He says, I am he who lives. We understand. Okay, that's got to be God. Look what he says here. And was dead. Hold up. When did God die? In Jesus. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Jesus is God. You got to understand this. Jesus is God. And even if you go back, we're reading our text is Isaiah 9. I know these are a lot of scriptures, but you keep these in your head or you write these down, because I guarantee the devil is going to challenge these things. And too many Christians, they get twist up. Too many Christians get twist up. Somebody comes to them and they're like, no. I'm an Israelite. And then start popping scriptures. How could Jesus be God? And you're like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I need to be Israelite. Maybe. No! Jesus is God. The Bible teaches it. Either you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. But the Bible says Jesus is God. That's the fundamental. Everything else that you're doing, unless you believe Jesus is God, it is not the point of Christianity.
Isaiah 7 verse 19, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. This is the prophecy of Christ hundreds of years before and bear a son. A virgin will conceive. How many know that's a sign when a virgin has a baby? Listen, don't come up in here telling us you're a virgin and you got a baby. We know you. Son is guanin. Son is guanin. But here, a virgin conceives and bear a son. And even in Bible times, Joseph thought something's guanin. And the angel had to come and say, no, 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 Joseph, nothing is guanin. God is moving. There's no guanins here. There's just movements. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? Come on, what does it mean? God is with us. And so all of these things I've read, listen, Jesus is God. See, what splits the world into camps is not black and white people, not rich and poor people, not male and female. The world is split into two camps. Those that don't believe Jesus is God and those that do believe Jesus is God. A Christian is someone that says Jesus is God. But I want to say this, there's no point of you defending that doctrine like it's a historical fact, but it ain't changed your life. Because I believe Abraham Lincoln lived, but that don't change my life. Who cares? If you prove tomorrow there's no Abraham Lincoln, it wouldn't change my life. I believe that Maggie Thatcher was the prime minister at one point. Oh, Maggie, yeah. Some of you don't know about Maggie. Us originals, we know about Maggie. Listen, but it doesn't change my life. So some Christians, they're holding this in their head. They're, Jesus is God, Jesus is God. But it's not changing your life. Jesus is God. Imagine if I clicked my fingers, King, and we was all on the beach right now. We were like, wow. Then I clicked my fingers, we was on the moon. Then I clicked my fingers, we're back here. And I was like, I'm God. How many of you would be like, your life would never be the same. When we know that Jesus is God, what this does, it gives you the why to your what. See, I said in the beginning, it's not about church, but listen, I come church. You know why I come church? Because Jesus is God. Listen, I got saved at 22. I gave up smoking. I gave up drinking. I gave up raving. I gave up having sex with women. You know why? Not to become religious or join a religious club or so that I could be in a little religious thing. That wasn't doing a little religious youth thing or old thing or anything. No, you know why I stopped? Because I believe that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He sees everything. I could go out and be in the club, shaking it down. The lights are off. Come on, let's go home with me. And I could take it in my bedroom and God would see. And I was, no. You're good, but you ain't that good. You're nice, but you're not that nice. Because Jesus is God. See, this is why we do what we do. Usher, are you ushering because Jesus is God? Praise and worship, are you up here because Jesus is God? Did you come to church today because Jesus is God? Or did you come because it's a club? If you're coming because someone else is coming, woe unto you. Because when they leave, you'll leave. Or when you've been here long enough and you don't get what you want, I've seen enough women come up in this place, and when they don't get a man in the time they want man, they soon leave. Because you came for man when there's other women that have been here and they're faithful and they love God and they're here living for God, living pure. You know why? Because Jesus is God and they believe it. There's men here. They've come into this congregation and they haven't got a job and they used to deal drugs or do this and they gave it up and they had to go without job and money and ride bike from here to there and in the rain and walk and do all of this. But they rid it. Where some guys, no, I'm going back to my old schemes and credit cards and bank accounts. But they said, no, I can't go back. You know why? Because they believe Jesus is God. See, this really is the reason. Has this fact changed your life? Has it changed your life? You know, at Christmas time, me and my wife, we've been married many years now. And so at Christmas time, we don't really go crazy. We don't brock ourselves to you know, come on, we love each other. You need something, we're going to get it. Yeah, you need a jacket? No problem, you get it. You need some shoes, you get it. We're not like, and so usually we say £20 is our limit. We just spend £20 on each other. We just get a little gift so it's something to open on Christmas Day. Wow, look at that, good.
but we don't make a big thing of it. I'm not saying don't, but I remember when we first got married, I did make a big thing of it. See, I wanted to impress her. How many know you just want to, it's fresh. She just got married, impressed. I went Bicester Village, you know, Bicester. How many know about Bicester? Yeah. So it's got the names, but it's discount, amen. Because I was rolling a bit. I wasn't pastor then, so I was rolling a bit, but not rolling like Bond Street rolling. Just a Bicester rolling. And so I go there and I bought loads of this. I've paid hundreds of pounds on these gifts. And I got them home now. And I was like, okay. But I was like, rapping is long. How many think rapping is long? Yeah, that's just long. I like this is, some of you would rap like, no, this is not me. So basically, I got these gifts, and what I did is I put them in a towel. I know, someone just looked at me weird. And I wrapped it in a towel, and then the towel was like a ball, and then I put it in wrapping paper, and I just made a big ball. I just sanitized it. And one of them, I actually got a bit arty. I kind of made it look like a massive cracker because I just put the sellotape there and sellotape and flared it out. So it looked like an atomic bomb cracker. And so that's how I was rapping. I'm not into the rapping. And I was thinking about this, is that God is actually not into rapping. Because when you think of, not this. But think about this now. God raps Almighty God in a baby. This is Almighty God we're talking about in a baby. The Bible says in Luke 2, verse 11, he says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Wow, Christ is coming. He's the Lord. "And this will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothing." You're not swaddling clothing. It's like cloth that Jesus, God, Almighty God, Mighty God is wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. I've said it before, a manger is where animals eat out of. It's a trough. So Almighty God is wrapped in cloth in a manger, in a barn. How many know God's not into wrapping? Because if you was looking for Almighty God, you're not looking in, you're looking in a palace, and this is what we're looking for. But what God is showing us, it tells me it's not all about the wrapping. It's not all about the wrapping. See, listen, if you make life all about the wrapping, you're going to get in trouble. If you make it all about the wrapping, you're going to get in trouble. There's some guys here, listen, if you make it all about the wrapping, bro, you're going to get in trouble. If you're looking for a woman and it's all about how she's wrapped, and you're not dealing with, you're not looking inward, you're looking on the outside. You know, listen, beautify yourself. There's nothing wrong with beautifying yourself. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. Would a brother say amen? Amen. Amen. But listen, bro, you know, someone was telling me the other day that women now, they're doing exercises to kind of puff out their bum. That's what they're doing, exercises. Listen, you should do exercises to be fit. Cardiovascular fit, not go on your fit. Yeah, she look fit, but she can't run. That's the problem, man. Yeah, she look fit. Yeah, make her, she can't go Asda with you, man. Just carry two onions. Nah, tired, got a headache. Listen, bro, you better look, it's not all about the rapping. That's what we're saying. She's exercising. And yeah, is her heart being exercised? Is she exercising some kindness? Because if you marry a woman just because her bum stuck out, and you're laughing at me, little pastor, we'd never think that. Come on. You're going to marry that woman. And after you get married, because she ain't got a right spirit, a right heart, you're like, let's pray. Pray what part? You're just looking at, that's where you married, bro. She's like, let's read the Bible. You're like, let's read the Bible. Well, there's an answer in the Bible. Bible, which part? She's like, I see people are recording now. I'm not going to do it again. See how you pull out your camera. Try to catch me, man. She don't want to come to church. She don't want to label the people. She ain't got no, because you've looked, listen, look at someone and say, it's not all about the rapping.
But ladies, you need to understand it as well. Some of you ladies, you got yourself in a whole heap of trouble because you made it about the rapping. See, God is not into rapping. That's what we got to understand. God says, no, who cares? Imagine you was consulting God. He's like, God, no, you can't come down there and just wrap yourself up in a piece of cloth and put yourself in a barn, in a manger. People are not going to take you serious. That's how we would have consulted God, isn't it? That's how we would have said it. We would have looked at things in the natural. God's like, listen, I don't care about the rapping. See, in the text of Isaiah 9, let me give you a little bit of background to Isaiah 9. The children of Israel, God's people are in a very difficult position. There's Assyria, there's Egypt, and they're in a difficult position. They're trying to create these alliances, but things are not working for them. And the Bible says that they're in darkness. And if we read a little bit before our text, Isaiah 9 verse 2, it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen great light. God is saying to them, listen, you're in darkness right now, but I'm going to bring you into great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. What God is saying is, I'm coming to help you. They got economic problems. They've got military problems, political problems. God says, I'm going to come and help you. And when God says he's going to come and help you, what would you have thought he would have brought? He would have brought a king. He would have brought a warrior. What does God say he's going to give to them? We've read it. He says, I'm going to send you a baby. A baby? Why would I want a baby? I've got problems here, Pastor. I thought you said God's going to come through for me, Pastor. I've got needs here. And now God says he's going to send me a baby. And what this tells us is sometimes the very way God's going to help you, man would overlook it. See, it's no good us being religious. Be honest. Imagine we're at war. Imagine England is at war with another nation, Russia or whatever, and they're coming against us. And we say, God, help us. And God says, no problem, I'm going to send a baby. You'd be like, what? Because many times the way God is going to help you is in the very thing that you would overlook. See, some of you are asking God for help, but overlooking where he's going to help you. This is why some of you, we need help. I believe you need help, but you're overlooking prayer. Because it's small, it's insignificant. You're saying, God, help me, but you're overlooking your word. Too busy, Pastor, I'm too busy to read my word. I've got this going on, that going on, my education going on, my job's going on, my career, my marriage, my kids. And we overlook the word. See, we would have overlooked the child. We overlook church. We overlook preaching. Because the baby is a small thing. Can I tell you, God can deliver you and bring help through something that's so small. This is why, bro, don't overlook a godly woman. You're overlooking her. No, did you see? She wore some sandals. I weren't feeling her toes. You're going to miss destiny for a toe that's not straight. Listen, we can pray for that toe. That toe could whoop, straighten out, man. Don't miss destiny. That's a woman of God. That woman will help you, man. See, we would overlook the baby. It's a little baby. I overlook it. You overlook that brother. That brother's interested in you. What does he drive? Look at his clothes. He's not fashionable. See, you're not thinking about destiny. You're thinking about Instagram. Because your girlfriend had like a hunk on Instagram, six pack, everything. What you didn't realize is after the Instagram, there was a big row and he punched you in the eye. Yeah, you act like you don't know that sister. You know her. Look at someone and say, you know her. But now, because the brother in the church, he's just like, yeah, what's going on? What's going on? I like you, you know. Are you coming to the New Year's Eve? Are you coming another level? Let's go together. No, I ain't going with you. No. I got to wait for my friend. See, you're ignoring it because it's a baby. You overlook. See, many times God wants to help you in the very thing you're overlooking. Some of you would say, you know, Pastor, you're a man of God, you've helped me. But when I was in the body, you would have overlooked me. Meaning you would have not sent me out. You'd have been like, that guy's not a joke, man. Listen, I went through struggles in the body. I was on discipline once. Yeah, your pastor had to be disciplined. People would have, let's just pass that by. You overlook what later on can help people. Some of you would have overlooked Wandsworth. When I came in as eight people, some people would have been like, no, I don't want that. I don't want that church. I'm waiting for the bigger church to come. When there's a big church, oh yeah. There are some pastors that would like Wandsworth now. Because many times we overlook some, oh, that's not fruitful. We judge people. People go and do things. Maybe they go out. You don't see a mass. People saved, hundreds are saved. Oh, no, they're not serious. They ain't got no. Listen, don't overlook. See, what we see in the text is, yes, he is a baby, but he's also Almighty God. You got to realize, yes, he's a baby. You're going to have to make choices in life. Which one do you focus on? Do you focus on the baby or do you focus on Almighty God? Because he's both. Yes, he is a baby, but God is in him. Yes, in the natural, in the common, in what we see, yeah, it doesn't look like much. But God is in it. That's what we got to ask ourselves the question. Is God here? Is God moving here? Because I want to tell you, even as a baby, Jesus is so powerful that before Jesus can even utter a word, the Bible says that stars shine brighter for him. This is how powerful Jesus is. Before he even utters a word, stars shine brighter for him. Before Jesus ever utters a word, angels praise God for him. The Bible says there are these shepherds, all of a sudden, imagine you're just about your business and your job, a host of angels, a multitude of angels start praising God because he's Almighty God. Wise men search for him before they've even heard his wisdom because Jesus is God. This is the bit I love. When you read, the wise men are looking for him and they first go to Herod because they're looking for a palace. Remember? Because they thought it was all about the wrapping in the beginning. They go to Herod's palace. Hey, we've come to see the new king. Herod is like, no, there ain't no new king here. And he leaves. And the Bible says this, Herod and all of the city was troubled. You read that? That before Jesus even has the muscle to raise his hand, he's already trembling his enemy. Before he even utters a word to curse the enemy or rebuke the enemy, just as a child laying in the manger, just the enemy to hear about him. That's how much power is in Jesus. See, his name in the text is Mighty God. See, the word God in the Hebrew is El, E-L. The word El, what it means is Almighty One. I was studying this. I was thinking, what? So look at how God is, just so that you don't miss it. Remember, the word God is El. It means Mighty One. And so this name is Mighty Almighty. God's letting you know, listen, you may come up against some mighty things, but I'm Mighty Almighty. You might come up against some big problems, but I'm a bigger for that problem. See, you're going to have to make a decision which one you see. Do you see Almighty God or do you see just the child? Let me close off with this. Luke 2 verse 27 shows us how we need to come at life. The Bible speaks about this guy, Simeon, and he's an old guy. And so in verse 27 it says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is this guy. He came by the Spirit. You got to mark that. He was in the Spirit. He's a spiritual man. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus is just a child, probably 8 days old, something like that, to do for him according to the custom of the law, because he's got to be circumcised. Remember, they're Jews. And so here is this guy. He's in the Spirit. He comes to God's house in the Spirit. He has the Spirit leading him. And when he sees the child, He doesn't just think, this is a child. He doesn't just think, that's small, that's insignificant. The Bible says, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light, remember what we read in Isaiah? He said, when we're in darkness, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Here is this man, and when everyone else would have seen Mary and Joseph just like normal people bringing a baby, because this man is in the spirit, he looks and he's like, I don't see a baby, I see Almighty God. See, you're going to have to start looking at your life through the spirit. See, because some of you here, the greatest crime is that you're looking at yourself like you're insignificant. You're looking at your job like it's insignificant. You're looking at your ministry like it's insignificant. You're looking at that marriage or those kids, and you're looking at that because you're looking at it in the natural. You've got to get in the spirit. People may be passing you by. People may be overlooking you. Don't worry, they overlook Jesus. But if you're in the spirit, you'll be able to see, listen, this is more than just a child. I'm more than just coming to church. There's something more in this marriage. These children can be saved. This ministry, there's more here. Because Jesus is God. He's Almighty God. Mighty God. What that means is hero God. Some of you here, you've got yourself wrapped up into sin. You're in a problem right now. I want to tell you, Jesus is hero God. He'll come and rescue you. He'll come and rescue you. You're trying to get out of some things and you don't know. You've tried this, you've tried that, you've called this person, called that person, you've tried. He's hero God. Not just hero God, it means warrior God. He'll fight for you. Some of you right now, you've got bad news from the doctor. I'm telling you, God is fighting for you. The doctor says one thing, warrior God is fighting for you. It means champion God. You know, when people have, they're into football, I'm not into football, but I see people when they talk about football and last year's best scorer is going to be transferred to their team. They get happy. The champion is coming to my team. What they realize is next season is going to be a better season. I want to tell you, when we see Jesus in the manger, we know the champion is going to be on our team. The champion is going to be on our team. The champion is going to be on our team. Listen, some of you need to get excited. The champion is on your team. That means next season is going to be a better season. You're entering into a better season because Jesus is God. There is hope because help is on his way. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.